Acts chapter 26 from the verse number 9 and on. I think it is impossible to imagine that this King Agrippa, one of the Herod's family, could have been unaware of the fact that his predecessor, the preceding King Herod, was eaten up by worms, that he was stricken by an angel of God. I think that this knowledge and that experience within the royal family could have brought some light of God's truth into their darkened royal mind, their royal darkness, so to say. Perhaps the fear of being stricken by the same God or one of his angels, which is the same thing, Agrippa became acquainted with the words of the prophets and with the law, and somehow became a little bit more familiar with this mighty God of Israel. In the verse number 8, Paul has attacked the greatest idol of that generation, which is the belief in power. They would have believed the prophets if the prophets were like the prophet Muhammad, you know, force everybody to believe what he says or put him to death. If the prophets were mighty kings like the Emperor Caesar or any of the emperors that conquered the other countries, oh, that kind of a prophet they would have to believe. But the prophets were sufferers. The prophets were those that were imprisoned, that were persecuted, that were put to death, and still were prophesying and declaring the will of God until their last moment, until their blood was shed and so on. That kind of prophets, no. These weak people, that weak generation, they're not going to believe in that. Oh, no, no, not that. And Paul said, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? And then in the verse number 9, Paul is saying, I was one of you. I was of the same kind, the generation of unbelief, the generation that believes in crude power, enforcement, destruction, attacking, conquering physically. I was one of those. I was one of you. And as Paul is for a moment in his illustration placing himself in the past times that he does not belong to anymore, but in the time past he was one of them, one of those that don't believe the truth of the gospel, one of those that had been swayed with the spirit of this world. We can almost feel the same spirit that is sending the message to the Ephesians in the epistle of the Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, you that in time past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That Spirit's message Paul is going to present now to the King Agrippa and all the dignitaries of that region. In the verse number 9, Paul is not only saying, I was like one of you, not believing. Not only, I was an enemy of the faith in God and Christ the Savior. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints, he's talking about Christians, many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them, trying to compel them to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ, of course, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto the strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a flash of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, flash round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus the Christ. As Paul the Apostle was delivering the message of the Lord Jesus Christ as he has received it from the Lord Jesus, I think the room was charged with the presence and power of the Spirit of the Lord, and Satan was frantically looking for a victim, for someone who will yield to Satan and disrupt this flow of God's testimony. The Apostle Paul is continuing, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Why are both the Jews and the Gentiles and any religion against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they hate to face the fact that they are sinners. Because they hate to think about the fact that they are going to be judged for their sin. Because they refuse to repent and forsake their sin and turn to the Lord. That's why all the people that hate the gospel hate the gospel. The preceding governor, Felix, did not care for the gospel. He loved his sins. He wanted to surrender Paul into the hands of these murderous Jews, but somehow he was not able to. And the present governor, Festus, also wanted to cooperate with the Jews, to please the Jews, to gain some comfort in his rulership. But Festus was not able to get rid of Paul just like that, and he was not able to use Paul for some political gain and so on. And the Jews that were so influential and so much attracted the favors from the governors were not able to destroy Paul, and the gospel, the preaching, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is going on and on, even in the chains and shackles, even before the kings and the rulers and governors and all the so-called dignitaries. And that's what Paul the Apostle is saying to the king Agrippa and the rest of the listeners here. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. As I mentioned earlier, as the word of God flows just like the grace of God through the lips of the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is bringing forth the message of the gospel in such a convincing manner that Satan is frantically looking for someone that is going to be his instrument to disrupt this teaching of the Word of God. And at this moment, as Paul spake thus, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning makes thee mad. Paul, thou art insane. But Paul answered, I am not mad, most noble Festus. I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. It was not secretly concealed somewhere in Judea. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. All this time, Paul is preaching, and the shackles are on his feet, and the chains on his wrists. He's a prisoner, but the freedom, the liberty in the Spirit of Christ is so obvious, so great, that Festus would call him insane, and Agrippa would call him so persuasive, so convincing, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And when Paul said these last words, I would to God, my greatest wish and my prayer is that not only thou also, but also all you that are listening to me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In other words, there is nothing greater, nothing more wonderful, nothing more valuable, nothing more delightful to believe in Christ Jesus and to have the fellowship in His Spirit, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the persecution, beside the suffering, and all the onslaught of enemies of the gospel. There is no greater calling but believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Almighty Savior. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them, the hearing is over. And when they were gone, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty, if he had not appealed unto Caesar. What does that mean? Well, Paul appealed unto Caesar because Festus wanted to surrender Paul into the hands of his murderers to be, but according to the Lord, not to be. So, if the Festus the governor, would agree to set Paul free and to tell the Jews, you just have no base to accuse this man, there is no reason that he would be condemned, then no reason to send Paul to the emperor. I imagine that appealing to the emperor was a one-way street, that no governor and no prisoner and no accuser could change that. Once a person appealed unto emperor, is calling, actually, by that appeal, that person is calling on the emperor to grant him or them hearing so that he or they could present their case before the emperor, and the emperor is going to make the decision. No one has power and authority to change that. Of course, we know one that has the power to change anything he wants to change. But this was the decision of the Almighty God. Paul is going to present the gospel and to witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in Rome and all the way along. And that is the wonderful promise and the magnificent fulfillment of that promise that God gave to Paul and to us, the Gentiles. Now, let us not forget, to fulfill that promise, Paul offered up his soul and body, mind and heart. He gave up all the comfort of family life, or life in seclusion, or anything that this world can offer. Paul the Apostle is going to be a sufferer until the end of his life, but the word of God is not bound. The testimony about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is going on and on. May the Lord give us grace and power to live and walk in the Spirit of Christ, in the new life, to be a living testimony of his abundant goodness and mercy upon all those that trust and obey the Son of the Almighty God, so that even the weak vessels that we are may be filled with the truth of the gospel, with the light that is much mightier than all the darkness of this world darkened by sin. Glory be to God, our Father and our Savior, and to the Holy Spirit that is proclaiming the gospel even today.